Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at windowskansascity.com.
We start this episode of KKHI with the good because when I get to the bad, I fear I'm really going to be wound up on this episode. A lot has happened in the last few days as we had a few days off in Nashville. My wife and I and our friends Tony and Ruth Ann going to the Chiefs game, which was the only bad time we had all weekend long, was the 3 hours at Nissan Stadium. Just a tremendous trip. And first off, let me say thanks to Spence for helping out with the podcast on Friday and Monday. Hope you enjoyed those. Got some nice download numbers on those, and I know that he did a terrific job. Stan Weber is outstanding every Monday on our football feast, wrapping up everything that happened over the weekend. So we trust that you enjoyed that, and I really appreciate you for tuning in and hitting that play button at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. It's great to be back. It's great to be back doing what I love. We've got a big week, big personal week, as we'll finally be moving. You know, the delays of finishing our house seem to go on and on and on, and it almost got to a point where we're starting to think, is this ever going to happen? But Friday is moving day, so we're pretty excited about that. So a big time in our lives, and we certainly appreciate sharing some of that with so many of you. I saw many KKHI listeners in Nashville. Not all. Some of you had emailed, and then I lost track of my emails. We were going to try to meet here or meet there, and I apologize for that. We ran into an awful lot of people. We took a few pictures. We shook a lot of hands and just generally met nice folks. I met four or five people from Wichita that walked up and said, hey, we live in Wichita and listen to the podcast every day. Love your podcast. A couple of times there were people shouting like across the room or across the street, hey, love the podcast. That's outstanding. Thank you so much. And what Nashville was, and this is the positive that we start the pod with today, is just a collection of really great American patriots refusing to live a bummer of a life, refusing to be told that you have to live in fear, that you have to be scared, that you have to be beaten down, that the world, the sky is falling in, that everything is bad. It was thousands upon thousands of happy, smiling, optimistic people that almost to a person, especially down, we stayed downtown, especially when you go down to Broadway with the restaurants and all the bars and the gazillion different live bands. All of those people, I mean, I'm telling you, this had to be 80, 90% conservatives. It is remarkable. And my friend said to me, he says, you know, normally when we go out of town or you're downtown or you're some places, you're a little wary of where you are. You're a little concerned about your security. You're a little afraid of this or a little afraid of that. Man, I'm telling you, when you're hanging out in Nashville, it doesn't even enter your mind. You're just like, well, these are just happy, fun people. There's plenty of security. We saw Nashville's finest and security in most of the bars and things like that. We would see people like that, but at no point did you ever think you needed it. You know, there wasn't going to be some fight breakout between people that it got too crowded in this place and they'd been drinking alcohol and now a fight was going to break out. No. In fact, I'd say we were probably safer downtown all weekend than we were at the football game. Although the fans at the football game were really good. I've just been to enough NFL games where I've seen fights break out that I know what can happen. And there were plenty of Titans fans trying to taunt at the end of the game, walking out. They have this giant walking bridge across the river that goes right back over to Broadway, across to downtown. Thousands of people walk on this bridge leaving the stadium. They were selling Let's Go Brandon t-shirts on the bridge. They were selling anti-Biden. I won't even say what they said on the t-shirts. They were dirty. They were disgusting. There were FJB t-shirts being sold. These were capitalists watching football fans walk out, and people were buying these shirts because, of course, they were. And it was pretty amazing that, you know, nothing happened. The Titans fans were getting in some Chiefs fans' faces. Others would be walking behind you after somebody hollered something and say, you know, we actually feel bad, man. That was a pretty ugly game. We feel sorry for you. And most Chiefs fans' response was, hey, listen, two Super Bowls in a row, we're not really complaining. We came to Nashville to have fun. The football game is here. We would like to have seen a better football game, but we're going to have a good time. We're not flying home right now. We're staying the afternoon or staying another night as we did. We stayed over on Sunday night because going to the football game, if you have a flight at like 6 o'clock, that's all you're thinking about. The whole time, all day, that's all you're thinking about is, oh God, our bags, are they okay? Are they in the car? Are we going to get an Uber in time? Are we going to get there? Ugh, I'm out on that. I'm out on that. A lot of people drove to Nashville and said, we're not doing the cattle herd. We're not doing that. We're not doing the airline rules. We're going to do it our own way. And we indeed did that. and had a great time. It's just a tremendous attitude that people have out there. We should be optimistic about this. We should know how many millions and millions of us there are. We are in massive numbers, folks. We are in massive numbers, and we are awakened. And we would start hearing the Let's Go Brandon chant, and we'd jump right in as we're walking into the game or walking down Broadway or anywhere that it was happening. I started it a couple of times. Jessica was like, stop that, stop that. She's always concerned. And yeah, I said, listen, we're not in Kansas City. You know, she's always concerned that somebody will know you, hate you, come after you, whatever. And I said, we're in Tennessee. These people don't know who we are. The Chiefs fans do. But the Chiefs fans that were in Nashville, that chose to go to Nashville, how many liberal Chiefs fans do you think decided to go to Nashville to see the Chiefs play on an 82-degree day and listen to country music all day? Legitimate question. How many liberals do you think would say, there it is, that's what I'm saving my money for, that's the trip I want to take, I'm going to Nashville to listen to country music and watch my football team, the Kansas City Chiefs? That's a pretty short list of people that would say that's the trip we're going on. Pretty short list. Actually, that's a really short list of people. So in that regard, this was really fun. It's a really great place to visit. If you haven't been there, you'll love it. There's so much to do. So many things to do. And it's not just all about going out to honky-tonks and listening to music, although we did plenty of that. There's a lot of other things in the city to do. There's a lot of history, a lot of cultural stuff. There's great golf courses. There's museums. There's really cool stuff to do in and around Nashville. So I would encourage it strongly and let you know that Let's Go Brandon was breaking out everywhere. And they were making a fine profit on anti-Joe Biden t-shirts that were being sold in Nashville, especially on the street corners and the walking bridge to and from the game. It was pretty good. A KKHI on this day is brought to you by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Customers at Roberts Robinson say we just make it easy. Ask for Mike on the showroom floor or get online where you can shop, click, and drive at robertsrobinson.com. Their service department is award-winning. They're tremendous. They will pick up your vehicle, service it for you, and return it to you. Take them up on it. If that helps you in your busy schedule, take them up on it. They'd love to do the work for you, and it doesn't have to be a GM car. They work on everything at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. With Chevrolet, find new roads. The game, as you know, was absolutely brutal. The Titans fans were pretty cool, the ones we were around. At halftime, we got a good seat upgrade. We had some people that were in the club level. So we bought tickets on the street. They used to call them scalpers. They're not really that now. I don't know what they are. We just bought tickets on the street. We went. We had good seats in the sun. We got a good half of football. Worked on our tan a little bit in the upper deck. It was a great view of the field. You could see the skyline of downtown. It was a spectacular day. The Chiefs from the jump were just dreadful. You knew this was coming. We talked about it all week. I'm not going to rub anything in. I'm just going to remind you that one of the reasons you listen to KKHI is this is the only place you would have heard anybody say last week that the second half against the Washington football team was a mirage, that the Chiefs didn't fix anything against the Washington football team. They were just playing a crappy team. Okay, they got worked over by a crappy team for a half. Then they came out at the start of the third quarter and were crappy. The Chiefs had a 3rd-and-23, and Mahomes just threw the ball away. Remember that? Everybody says, oh, what a great second half by the Chiefs against Washington. No, they came out flat. They came out stinky. Their defense got a couple of stops, and eventually the Chiefs made some plays. Was it a good 20, 22 minutes of football? It absolutely was. It was a good 20, 22 minutes of football against a really crappy team. The Chiefs have proven to us one thing this year. And Sunday was the exclamation point. The Chiefs can, I don't know that they always will, they can beat the bad teams. I think they'll win most of the games against bad teams. But they're not beating anybody any good. And I think Cleveland's turning out to be not very good, actually. They got a win over Cleveland, but really struggled, got mauled in the first part of that game. Chiefs always fall behind. If they win the coin toss, they defer, which means you're kicking off to your opponent and you're falling behind 7-0. The Chiefs are the very rare team that maybe shouldn't do that. You do it because you can essentially get a turnover in a game. If you defer to the second half, you can almost get an extra possession. You can almost get a turnover if you play the game the right way. You get that last possession in the first half, then you get the ball to start the second half. It's like getting a turnover in a game. That's why coaches defer. I'm not sure the Chiefs should do that. I think maybe they should take the ball. They fall behind in every stinking game they play. It's brutal to watch. This was terrible, and it wasn't Derrick Henry. They did early on a nice job holding him to about 3 yards a carry. Tannehill looked like Joe Montana out there throwing the ball around. They were up 275 yards to 50 or something at one point, as it was 27-0, and now they're just playing out the clock. The game was just flat-out boring after that. All that was happening was Patrick Mahomes trying to stay in the game, going for fourth downs to get his head knocked off. None of it made any sense. It was a complete display of their lack of cohesiveness, their lack of discipline, their lack of togetherness, any of these things. Whatever we talk about, having a good locker room, leaders, a team that's together, everybody's on the same page. That is not the Chiefs. This is right now the worst coach team in the NFL, and they are worse coached than the teams that really stink, like Jacksonville, or plug in a team that is no good. They're worse coached than those teams. You can go out with a rookie quarterback and have him make a lot of mistakes and lose a lot of games and still be a team that's getting coached better. The Kansas Jayhawks showed that over the weekend. The Kansas Jayhawks are a better coached football team than they were last year. They proved it Saturday against Oklahoma. They're getting better. Week by week, they're doing more things that lead you to believe that the coach is getting through to them. They understand what their roles are. They're not good. They're certainly not great, but they're proving as the season goes on that they're a pretty well-coached football team. You can see it. You can watch other teams play. The Indianapolis Colts played Sunday night football Sunday night in a driving rainstorm. Indy was not very good earlier this year. They were supposed to be one of these teams in the AFC that can beat you, and they can. And the AFC clearly is better than the NFC. I mean, there's just good teams after good teams in the AFC, and the Chiefs don't appear to be one of them. But you watch the Colts play, and you watch them Sunday night, and they were physical, and they ran the ball, and they did the little things, and they'd go for fourth and short, and they'd get it, and they'd not commit a penalty on that play and have it called back. They'd not get a third down stop and have defensive holding. Look, I'm not sitting here even saying the Colts are better than the Chiefs. I'm saying they're better coached. The Chiefs are a mess, and I think they're a reflection of Andy Reid. I think it's time for Andy Reid to retire. That's me. But, and I don't really call for firings. It's not my thing. I've done that before. There have been times that it was obvious. You know, Gunther Cunningham was falling apart. Frank Gans was terrible way back in the day. Todd Haley was a mess. There's been some pretty obvious, hey, this guy needs to be fired. This isn't working. I can't say that because I can't say that Andy won't pull it together and be a good head coach again, because there's enough track record there. I can't say, listen, he needs to be fired. What I say is I think he should resign. I'd be happy for the guy if he just, I said this on Chris DeGaulle's show Monday, and I don't mean this in a mean way. I just mean this. I've seen guys in coaching. I've seen their lives. I've seen what happens. How long was Gunther Cunningham out before he died? I mean, how long, right? So would I be happy for Andy Reid if he got out? The Chiefs gave him a front office consulting position, paid him a bunch of money, got him in the Hall of Fame. Maybe he lost some weight, got healthy, and lived to be 85. How good would that be? Go spend some time with your family. Get the stress out of your life, all that stuff. I can't even tell you that Bill Snyder is happy not coaching. I can't tell you that, but I'm happy for him that he doesn't have the stress and the pressure and all the things he tweeted out this weekend, that he had another grandbaby born. You know, Bill Snyder went out kicking and screaming. I don't think he wanted to go in the end. In the end, he resigned a few years ago, but I think he was kind of pushed to resignation. That, hey, that we're going to do something if you don't resign. And maybe he's not personally as happy right now as he would have been if he kept coaching another year or two. But me, I think it's good for him. I think it's great for him. He's healthy. He's a cancer survivor. He's living out his golden years with grandchildren being born and getting on Twitter and saying, look at this, I got another grandbaby. Man, that's what it's all about. I want that for Andy Reid. Now, there's a selfish part of me that wants a 38-year-old head coach in here. I want somebody that can identify with these players a little better. Get me somebody. I like Mike Kafka. He's the Chiefs. Well, he's the Patrick Mahomes guy, basically. Quarterbacks, coach, whatever you want to call him. Chiefs have a problem on their hands. If Andy is out, do they have to give the job to Eric Bieniemy? I say with his criminal record, no, you don't have to. It would be mean to point that out. The Chiefs have already had a couple of black head coaches. They've covered a lot of bases here. It's not like there would be some groundswell or storm that the Chiefs are some racist organization. I'm just not sure he's the right guy. Well, I know he's not the right guy for the job. He's not. Eric Bieniemy doesn't fix this team. That doesn't work. That doesn't happen. But this is so brutal now. This is so bad. And the team is so undisciplined. It's a reflection of the head coach and the coaching staff. It is. It absolutely is. There was also something tragic happened after the game on Sunday. I don't know if you caught this or not. Carl Madsen is a former on-field official. He was an umpire back in the day and has been a replay official the last decade. He was working the Chiefs-Titans game in Nashville. And when it was over, he got in his car and was driving home north on I-65. We drove north on I-65. After the game, he was driving and he pulled over on the side of the road. And then some people called and said, hey, there's a guy pulled over on the side of the road here on the interstate. And the 911 folks came and they smashed the window on the passenger side. He was alone, got him out of the car and tried to revive him, but he apparently just pulled over and died. It sounds like maybe it was some sort of a heart attack or a stroke or something like that, but a very sad note after the Chiefs-Titans game on Sunday that Carl Madsen, 71, longtime official, died while driving home after the game. Very sad. In college football, it's brought to you by 360documentsolutions.com, online at 360documentsolutions.com. Mark Lindquist and his team will take a look at your office and help you become more efficient and save money. You have nothing to lose by making this phone call, folks. If you're an office manager or you own a business, even a small business, let's say you're just an insurance agent with a couple of people in your office or something, they can help. They can help you be more profitable. That's what it's all about. They'll come in and take a look, give you a complete plan, no pressure, no cost to you. Call Mark at 913-745-5344. They do it all. IT systems, document technology, printers, copiers, it's all at 360documentsolutions.com. We mentioned Kansas, and you know we always like to say there's no moral victories in sports. That was a moral victory. It was a good day for Kansas football. That was a good day for Kansas football. I'm sorry. They had a lead in the second half against Oklahoma. That's a good day for Kansas football. And we've talked about them a lot this year that, you know, don't judge the win-loss record. Watch them play and see if you don't think they're getting better. And they are. And just at the time you were watching Kansas State play and you thought they're not getting better, they're going backwards and this is a disaster for Klieman and he's in trouble, they pull the rabbit out of the hat. They get a safety by their defense. They make a big play on offense from a veteran player in Skylar Thompson to a terrific running back in Deuce Vaughn. And then they hold them off again with their defense and win the game over Texas Tech by 1 point. Look, this was a huge, I told you that this game, the K-State-Texas Tech game, was a fork in the road for these two teams. We said this last week on the podcast, that the team that wins is going to go on probably and win 2-3 more games and have a nice season and go to a bowl game. And the team that loses is in real trouble here. And man, it happened fast. Texas Tech fired their coach after this game. He blew a lead. Kansas State was not prepared to play. They were down 14-0 before they took an offensive snap. So they come out, they give up a touchdown, then they fumbled the kickoff and give up another touchdown on a short field. After that, they gave up what? 10 points in 56 minutes? The defense was terrific. Kansas State's defense was great from that point on. They literally won the game with their defense. Especially for a college game, the defense was fantastic. And Texas Tech fired its coach after the game. Chris Klieman got a much-needed win. And the schedule is pretty good for Kansas State going forward. They got some games that it looks like they can win. They've got TCU, which has struggled. They've got Kansas, West Virginia. There's some teams out there that they can beat if they play well, if Skylar Thompson stays healthy. So a good day for Kansas State. I mentioned we had a great time in Nashville. We watched at this place where Outkick.com has a weekly or regular radio show. It is 3 or 4 blocks off of Broadway, but it's a giant brewery kind of place. And it's several places in one. It's a really neat concept because it's mostly open air. But each food vendor in there isn't really part of the restaurant. It's called Yeehaw Brewery. But the food vendors were like, I think it was called White Duck Taco Shop. I had a chili dog at this hot dog. It wasn't really a truck. It was this built on little shed next to the building. It was just a really cool place. And then they had another building to the side that was sort of an arcade where the kids would come in and play video games. And they had a TV there and some sofas and whatnot, but it was all open air. And we sat there and watched the K-State game. It was just a really nice, relaxing day. A lot of Chiefs fans were down there. Toward the end, they were stopping by and watching to see if Kansas State was going to hang on. So it wasn't like there wasn't some good football, some good entertaining football on our journey to Nashville. Marion Body Shop is your one-stop collision center for repairs. Marion Body Shop is on Merriam Drive, just off I-35 and Johnson Drive. They're State Farm preferred, which means you got to do nothing. If State Farm's your insurance provider, just boom, take your car, that's it. They will work with any insurance provider, of course, but they're State Farm preferred. It makes it really easy. If you'd like to make an appointment, even if it's just to take some dents out with paintless dent removal or to get your car detailed, they'll do it all for you with one call. 913-362-1198. This is a new level of service at Marion Body Shop you do not get from the corporate guys. You only get this from some local guys that really know how to do it right, that they're hustling to earn your business and get your referral. That's what it's all about. Small jobs, big jobs. MerriamBodyShop.com. And check this out, thenewcarimage.com. That's the detail site. They do that in Kansas City and Lawrence. Complete custom detailing of your ride. Better than new when they return it to you for a fraction of what the other guys charge. Thenewcarimage.com. Okay, one of the things we talked about on our trip all weekend long, I mean nonstop, was this Alec Baldwin story, where on the movie set of a movie called Rust, Alec Baldwin fires a gun and kills Halyna Hutchins, 42, a cinematographer who was behind the camera. And only a couple things have come up. Look, there's a lot of details coming out, and this really isn't the forum to go over all the details. You can read about it. You know all the details. You know the things. There's really only a couple of things here. The first question is, why would there ever be a loaded gun on a movie set? That's the first thing. That's really the only question to ask. Why would there be a real gun with a real bullet on a movie set? You can call it a prop gun, because technically if it's in his hand, they call it a prop. But a prop gun has little things in it that block the bullet from being able to be loaded. You literally can't put a bullet in a prop gun. They're modified. They put things in the chamber to where they won't load. It's a prop gun. This thing does nothing but fake it. Then they go back with CG computer technology and simulate the shot. In fact, the ABC television show The Rookie has already announced there will be no more live guns on their set. They're going with nothing but airsoft guns with CG muzzle flashes. CG is the computer graphics. It's fake. So the gun pops on The Rookie will be fake from now on. We won't notice. You won't notice if it was a real shot or not. They're good at this. They'll figure that out. They're going to use airsoft guns with CG muzzle flashes. Hell, that's what I thought they used. Didn't you? Did anybody you know that there were live guns on movie sets? Real guns with real bullets. Did anybody know this before this weekend? I didn't. I thought that stuff was gone long ago. I had no idea. And they, because of COVID protocols, the person who handles the gun can't go inside this room where they were. So the cart with the guns on it was outside the room, which means it was probably unattended for a while. Then somebody from inside the room goes outside the room and picks up the gun, hands it to Alec Baldwin and says, it's a cold gun. It won't fire. Baldwin doesn't check it. Most actors do check the gun themselves. Alec Baldwin did not. And then he goes to rehearse the scene and fires the shot and kills her and hits the director. I mean, this is just completely and utterly inexcusable. That's the first thing. Why is there ever a loaded gun on a movie set? That just doesn't even seem possible to me. It's insane is what it is. You just can't. It's lying around somewhere. Several people are going to handle it. Why are there even real bullets allowed inside the compound where you're filming? No live bullets, period. Blanks are dangerous enough. You know, when it first happened, you know, Jessica was asking me, how do you think this happened? I said, I don't know, man. I've heard that these blanks, if you're at close range and you're shooting a scene, you know, they can fire off a little spark, a flame, like a Roman candle. You know, if you hit somebody in the head, it could possibly kill them. You know, the blanks aren't all that safe, to be honest. They're not. There's gunpowder in those. They just don't have the bullet on the end of the chamber of the thing, the casing. They don't have the bullet on the end of the casing. I said, I've heard of people getting injuries from the flash pop or whatever of what we would call a blank or a prop shot. That's what we thought it was when we first heard it. Then they said, it comes out on TMZ or wherever, it was a real bullet. It was a live bullet. I'm like, what? What in the world is a live bullet doing on a movie set? That's impossible. You can't do that. You can't have that. That's absolutely insane. It's insane, and it should be against the law in all 50 states. You want gun control, Alec Baldwin? There's your gun control. No live ammunition on a movie set. It's a workplace. It's a workplace. Come on. You're going to take a gun with live ammunition to work with you and then play with it? Because really, that's all you're doing is you're playing with it. Acting is playing. It's playtime. It's kids on a playground. We're acting. We're playing. Why do you think they call them plays? Oh, I saw a play on Broadway. It's a play. We're playing with guns. We're playing with guns. Alec Baldwin plays with guns. Now, he's one of the biggest anti-gun guys in America. That's point number two. You have no respect from this podcast host whatsoever if you work in Hollywood and you're anti-gun. If you work in the video game industry and you're anti-gun. If you work in any of these industries that glamorize violence, if you're in the music industry, the rap music industry, no respect from this guy. Uh-uh. In fact, I look at you like, you know, we always, hypocrite's not a strong enough word now because this is the worst. This is the worst. Alec Baldwin's Twitter feed, they're pulling up all kinds of stuff from years back. I'm not going to pick on Alec Baldwin today. What happened to him is horrible. Okay? Not as horrible as what happened to her. But it was horrible. For that to happen is horrible. It's inexcusable. It shouldn't have happened. They'll get to the bottom of it. We'll find out if it was criminal and who goes to jail. But the worst part is this guy has run around his adult life trying to change gun rules. No guns. Guns are bad. Guns are evil. Guns are terrible. While making millions of dollars playing with freaking guns. Now, I told you I was going to get worked up on this podcast today. I want to state this because nobody else is stating it this way. This is the most important point of what happened. These people in Hollywood run around. They want to take away guns from people who live. I just drove through Tennessee and Kentucky and Illinois and Missouri and people who live out in the sticks and water. You want to find these nice people and tell them they can't have a gun when there's no protection for 8 miles around? This is the people you want to attack and say they can't have guns in their home. They can't, we don't like hunters. We don't like the NRA. What you don't like is you don't like conservatives. There's nothing to do with guns. If it had anything to do with guns, you would have a very strong stance, Alec Baldwin. You'd say, I don't work on any more projects with guns. And at the very least, you'd say, I don't work on any project with live guns. But that isn't even good enough because you're making a movie that glamorizes guns. It's entertainment. I can't state this strongly enough. Alec Baldwin is an entertainer who makes money off playing with guns and entertaining people with guns. And all he's done for 30 years is run around and be a gun rights, gun control activist. Hypocrite is not a strong enough word. I'm not, it's too soon on the death of this lady to talk about the irony of this or the tragedy of this or whatever it is. But I told my buddy, I said, Alec Baldwin's done doing comedy. I mean, he can't go back to Saturday Night Live and be funny. He hosts a game show. What's he host? The Match Game or something? He can't do that and yuck it up and make sex jokes and be funny. You can't look at the guy and laugh anymore. I'm sorry. And he's been funny. I'm not saying the guy doesn't have some talent. That's not it at all. But how do you kill somebody on a movie set that you're the producer of with a real gun and a live bullet and then run around and be a gun control freak and do comedy shows? How do you ever do that again? I mean, the guy literally just got to go into hiding, I think, at this point. I don't think anybody will look at him the same. I think it's essentially the end of his career. I don't see how you salvage that project. I don't think that movie goes through. I think they eat the money at this point and say, we lost. This movie's done. I just keep asking it. Two things. Why is there ever a real gun on a movie set? And two, what the hell do these gun control freaks think when they go to Hollywood and make their living making millions of dollars playing with guns? Almost as bad as what's going on with Anthony Fauci. We talked about Fauci several weeks ago on this podcast and what he did or approved at the University of Georgia, where my daughter went to school, killing 28 beagle puppies by strapping collars on them with sand flies that would bite them through plastic holes in the bottom of the collar to see how sick they'd get. Then we'll test some medicine on them. They died. I'm not kidding you. If I run into that man, I'm punching him. I'm punching him in the gut. I'm just going to walk right up and do it. I'm going to get arrested. It's going to be a story. I'm just telling you right now. He's going down. I'm not going to punch him in the face. I'm not going to break his jaw. That frail little... I'm going to walk up. I'm going to gut punch him and bend him over just as hard as I can. Right in the midsection. I cannot believe he's still keeping his job. So I don't know why it took this many weeks, but now we've learned of other studies that are even more cruel. They cut vocal cords out of the beagles. I have a half beagle, by the way. This is personal. My dog is half beagle. He is such a sweet dog. They get the beagles because they're so docile. They're so sweet and so docile that it's easier to torture beagles than other breeds. Let me repeat that. They take the softest among the canines because they're easier to torture. Man, you are a sick freaking human being if you torture beagle puppies. You're sick. You are sick and you are twisted, and that is not science, and nothing is to be gained from it. There is nothing good coming of it. Nothing. Zero. No application to humans. You're not helping dogs. You're doing nothing. Absolutely nothing to help anyone or anything. You're just sick. They cut out their vocal cords because what do beagles do when they're in pain? They howl. Oh, well, take the vocal cords out. Oh my God, are you kidding me? They remove the vocal cords so when they torture them, they can't howl. Oh my God. This guy, this should be a crime. Michael Vick went to Leavenworth for less than this. And now we've learned it's happened in other places. They sedate them. They strap them to tables. They stick their heads inside nets. They tie it off, and the fleas, while they're sedated, like you're going to the dentist getting a root canal, they're just sitting there getting bit 1,000 times around the neck and their face. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Our taxpayers paid for that? We paid for that, and Fauci approved it. I'm not kidding. I see that guy, I'm punching him. I am. I'm punching him. I may go to real jail, and I won't care. The satisfaction that I would get from doing that for those beagles would be worth it. This is a sick, twisted man. And these scientists that can do that, if you're a scientist in the name of science, and you have a sedated beagle on your table and you're cutting out his vocal cord and sticking him in a cage with flies to eat him to death, you have a problem. You have a problem. What he needs is to be strapped to a table and had his head stuck in a net and let some flies bite on him for a while. That's what would serve Anthony Fauci right. Bstock.net is a great supplier of electronics. In fact, Bstock is bringing me a couple of new TVs for the house on this Tuesday. Looking forward to seeing Chris and his team. They're going to deliver them. They do in-home consultations as well. They're not just the lowest prices. They're not just a warehouse with televisions, computers, accessories. Their service is top-notch. Give them a chance to earn your business. Call them at 913-800-1419. That's 800-1419 for an in-home consultation on the best electronics anywhere. It's bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. All right, on to some things that I'm not going to get nearly as worked up about. Something, can I just find something I can laugh at a little bit here today? There's a lot of things here that aren't laughable, I'm telling you. A lot. This one's pretty funny. The Star, while selling their building because the company's going broke, has decided to expand its coverage and add 11 new reporters to the staff. I'm happy with job creation. I'm happy the Star has hired 11 people. That's fine. I thought I'd give you a couple of the titles of the reporters that they've hired. Yeah, when I was a reporter, I was a sports reporter. Oh, the Kansas City Star has hired an identity reporter. Don't ask. I don't know. I don't know what that is. I think I know, but I could get in trouble by guessing. Because I just, the last few weeks, have learned what cisgender means. So I got to get up on some of this stuff. Identity reporter at the Kansas City Star. There's some money well spent. That's got to be profitable, doesn't it? Most of you that listen to this podcast have been in business in some fashion or other, work for someone else, sort of understand how the business works, how a business is profitable. An identity reporter has been hired for the Star. I do not know how that generates enough advertising revenue to be profitable. I can't see it. They also hired a race reporter. That is a profitable industry. The race identity, maybe that's what the identity thing is. Maybe that's racial more than the other. There's a race and equity reporter. Equity reporter, that's nice. Race and equity at the Kansas City Star. I'll just say it. Good for them. They hired 11 more people. That's 11 people that are working. I'm good with that. And those people aren't working at Runbeck Printing Company in Arizona. Runbeck Printing is in the news this week. If you've heard of this company, they're in Arizona. They you know what Runbeck Printing makes? Oh, they do mail-in ballots. They did mail-in ballots for the 2020 election in, oh, you know, little states like Arizona and Georgia that don't matter much. We have now learned that Runbeck Printing sent Democrat ballots to Fulton County, Georgia, with no barcodes on them. But there's plenty of them been turned in without barcodes. Got mailed in, thousands of them, no barcodes. They'll just say it was an accident. It was no accident. Those weren't real ballots. Everybody knows what that was, no accident. But the best part is this. So the guy who shouted fire in a crowded theater house, remember that guy on election night? He's at the big arena in Atlanta. He says, oh, we got to stop counting the votes. We've got a flood. We've had some pipes break. We got water everywhere. That turned out to be fake. You remember that guy that shut it all down? This company in Arizona sent him, well, and his team, over 1 million ballots, mail-in ballots, in the last week before the election. They sent another 1 million ballots to Fulton County and to Georgia. And here's what they have to do. They have to sort, prepare, fold, stuff, and mail them out to legal people in the state of Georgia. You have less than 10 days to the election. You're going to sort, fold, prepare, stuff, and mail out these ballots to people so they can get them, fill them out, and mail them back in. In the last week, this is all going to happen? They sent over 1 million of them in the last week. Are you kidding me? How fraud? There's no way. It would be an absolute miracle if 10,000 people got those ballots and mailed them in the last week. That'd be a miracle number for the U.S. Postal Service. That would be a miracle number. But they sent them over 1 million at the very end? Oh, my. It's all circumstantial. A lot of this stuff you can't prove. But any common thinking person can look at these things that happen and say, that just isn't possible. There's just no way that something like that could happen. Amazing Garage Floors will seal your driveway and protect it for years. If you give Hutch a call at 913-901-7139, or he'll build you that amazing garage floor that you've always wanted. Tony and I decided this weekend that this is not in any way, shape, or form some sort of extravagance, that every guy should have a garage floor. I'm sorry. This is what you should be spending. Cut something else out of the budget and get this for yourself. You should have this. You absolutely should have this. It's better than sports memorabilia or tickets to a game or any of those things. Take a few months off of your spending on something else. Get this. You'll be so glad you did. AmazingGarageFloors.net. Tony loves his floor. I love it too, and I'm getting mine in the next few weeks. AmazingGarageFloors.net. Okay, so Joe Biden gave a creepy speech on Monday. Now, it was really creepy. He did the old lean into the microphone and get mean. He backs off like this to where you can barely hear him, and then he comes up on the microphone and says, what are we doing, man? Come on. This is the United States. And he basically tries to scare you that if we don't spend $5 trillion, which is what it will be, stop calling it 1.8 or 3.5, it's going to be $5 trillion by the time it's done. That if we don't spend it, what are we doing? We're America. We should be doing this. Well, it's a terribly flawed idea. Americans hate it. They don't like the idea of this spending bill at all. He can't figure out why he can't get it passed. We don't have the money. And then he always leans in and goes, it's like a used car commercial or something or on TV. It's free. He says it's paid for. It doesn't cost you anything. So comes out this week. Here's the one they're floating, the billionaire tax or whatever on millionaires and billionaires. They want to tax people on unrealized gains, which means we'll use my case. I won't give you specific numbers, but I've bought some Apple stock. It went up. Then it went up some more. Then it went up some more. Then it split 4-for-1. And then it's gone up some more. I haven't sold any of it. They want to tax me on how much my Apple stock has gone up that I'm just holding? I paid money for stock. I spent money, hard-earned money that had already been taxed. I spent it to buy stock to let it sit until I'm 70. Because I believe in Apple to make a profit. So it sits and it sits and it sits. And I enjoy watching it grow, but I'm not even tempted to go get any of it. You want to tax me because it's doing well? Where am I going to get that money? I'm going to have to sell my stock. What's going to happen with the stock market? You're going to have to sell stocks to pay your taxes on your gains that you didn't want to sell. So this is such an outrageous idea. I believe this. I've thought this for a long time. I don't think I've ever said this on this podcast. I think I've figured them out. I think I've figured the Dems out. They come up with something on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being something pretty smart and conservative, like, you know what? We don't need this stimulus bill right now. We got inflation out of control. We don't need this right now. That would be 1. 10 would be, let's tax people on money they don't have. That's 10. I literally think that what the Democrats do now is they come up with the most outrageous thing they can possibly do. Okay? Like open borders, just open borders. We'll do this, open borders. Open. Everybody comes in because at some point then you'll go, well, we've got a lot of good people here. We could get some amnesty for them. Not citizenship, but amnesty. Thinking, well, there's your consolation prize halfway on our way to them all having babies that will grow up and be Democrats. It's a long game. They play a long game. The Democrats are like the Taliban. They'll wait you out. It's a long game for them. They're more than happy to wait you out on their craziness. But I literally believe they come up with these things that are 10 on the scale of 1 to 10. Like taxing people for money they don't have is 10. It's such a freaking crazy idea. It makes taxing people who make $200,000 a year or more sound pretty normal. Oh, okay. You're raising taxes on people $200,000 or more in their household income. Oh, okay. We'll let you do that. Boy, that taxing thing on people with the money you don't have. They just do something so outrageously crazy that something that really is kind of crazy, like this spending bill, sounds kind of normal. But how can you run around and convince anybody that this is free and doesn't cost anything when you're proposing a tax that we've never had before to pay for it? It can't possibly be free if you're proposing a tax we've never had before. It just can't. But that's what they do. I think they throw the 10 out there for a shock value. So then when they come along with their 5 on the scale of 1 to 10, it seems kind of normal. Pretty good plan, I guess. Back9development.com builds custom homes, commercial properties, room additions. Online at back9development.com. Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan. You want a new home? Commercial properties, room additions? TJ Vilkanskis and his team can take it from start to finish for you. Give them a call for a consultation, or if you'd like to visit the award-winning Solheim Condominiums at Grand Mere at Colbert Hills Golf Course in Manhattan, he'll give you a personal tour. 785-236-0161. Online at back9development.com. Enes Kanter is probably a basketball player you've heard of, but you're going to hear more and more of him on this show. I'm starting to point out people. See, the NBA opened the door for their players to be completely transparent and open about their personal opinions. They did this a few years ago with BLM and the protests and painting things on the court and all these things going on. Once they did that, it was just a matter of time until some players came along that don't believe about wokeness, that don't believe that America is still some sort of a slave state, ridiculous, that believe that America is great, that don't believe government should have control. So we've seen this. We've seen it with Kyrie Irving, who's not taking the shot. There are people demonstrating now outside the Barclays Center in Brooklyn for Kyrie Irving. Free Kyrie. They got signs, Free Kyrie Irving. Let him play, let him play. That's a New York City ordinance. Floyd Mayweather, the famous boxer, has now spoken out in support of Kyrie Irving, saying, I get you, brother. You know, you were there for the red, white, and blue. You play for your Olympic team. You're a great patriot. You're a great American. I support you. Floyd Mayweather's on board. Kyrie Irving's on board. There are more and more. The guy for the Orlando Magic is on board. His name escapes me at this point. He's on board. They're not alone. They're not alone. And along comes somebody, and it's always somebody from another country that really takes a stand, because Americans have become soft. Like LeBron James wouldn't know a stand to take if he saw it. He knows he makes money selling his jersey in China, so he doesn't worry about slave labor in China. Enes Kanter of the Celtics has been all over Xi Jinping, the dictator of the Communist Party in China. He wears shoes that say Free Tibet. He's from Turkey, folks. He's seen it. He's seen it with his government. He's here now, and he's like, this place is great. But there are really oppressed people all over the world. We're talking about human rights violations, real social injustice. This guy is a human rights warrior. The NBA has a problem on their hands because this guy is 50 times smarter than Colin Kaepernick. And he's taking a stance for something that people don't know about. And as people get more and more educated about this, the NBA may be forced to cut back its ties with China. Right now, in China, they will not show a Celtics game because of Enes Kanter. They will not show a 76ers game because of Daryl Morey, who's their general manager, who was critical of China a few years ago when he was with the Rockets. So they won't show either of their games. Well, if you get a player on every team speaking out against China, that's it. Basketball's over in China. They won't show these players and they won't show these games. Enes Kanter has now turned his attention to Nike Corporation. I didn't see a pair of Nike shoes in Nashville. Everybody wears Under Armour. Under Armour sells all the patriotic red, white, and blue stuff. Everybody wears Under Armour. And again, I can't speak about their corporate culture now. I know their founder was a giant conservative, huge conservative. I don't know how much control he has now. I don't even know if he's still on the board or not. But the company was built on that. They were largely built in the South, and that's their image. And Under Armour was everywhere in Nashville, and there was no Nike. Nike is an evil corporation, and here's why Nike is evil. Nike is evil because they run around telling you how freaking bad America is because of what we did 260 years ago. How bad we are for the sins of our great-great-great-grandfathers. Not mine. My people weren't here then. My people came after the Civil War. Yours probably did too. This country really exploded after that. There aren't that many of us that are really their ancestors back to the Civil War or before. But Nike runs around that America's awful and China is good. And you can't do that. And Enes Kanter's like, you can't do that, Nike. It's modern day slavery. And until you stop doing it, he challenged them on a video. He put it on social media. He said, I challenge you to even find out where your shoes are made because you don't even know. You don't even know. They're in slave labor camps. They're forced labor making Nike shoes. Forced labor is slavery. And Enes Kanter calls it modern-day slavery, but it's forced labor. And they clearly have forced labor camps in China. And that's how Nike makes its shoes. And Enes Kanter is right, and the NBA has a problem. Because Enes Kanter is not shutting up. They cannot cancel him. They cannot silence him. Do you know why? Because he's accurate, and he's right. You can't touch a guy telling the truth. I love that. Fry Orthodontics has 12 area locations for your convenience. Guys, it's time to get that perfect smile. Or maybe your teenager is ready to go get in the chair and get this done at Fry Orthodontics. Of course, they're very safe in everything they do. Your safety is of the highest priority there if you're concerned about the virus or things of that nature. They run on time. They get it done in half the time the other guys do, and they cost less. Dr. Jeremy's got this thing down, man. They got you covered. You want a great smile? It's Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. $70 million for a downtown women's soccer stadium on the River Market in Kansas City. On the river, not the River Market. Angie and Chris Long own the soccer team. They apparently have more money than they know what to do with. This is one of those deals where I fear this is being pushed, this is being done to be the first. Here's what it will be. Understand. Soccer is the most popular sport in the world, but understand there are hundreds of countries where women don't play soccer. There are dozens of countries where they're not allowed to play soccer. Like, women's rights aren't all that great around the world, folks. They're not. So that's really the reason why the U.S. women's team is so good on the world stage. Other countries don't try at women's sports. However, if and when Kansas City builds this, and more details are coming out on Tuesday, $70 million, 11,000 seats, Berkeley Park, on the riverfront, downtown. They've already built the first women's-only training facility in the world. This will be the first ever women's soccer stadium in the world. Now, that's great if you have $70 million you want to spend, and it's great if you want to be a first. All those things I can respect. It's private money. They apparently are not putting anything on the ballot for us to vote for. I'm all for development. Build what you want to build. I don't understand how we have a world-class facility where Sporting Kansas City plays and the women's team can't play there too. They will for the next 2 years until their stadium's built, but this is it. These folks say they want to revitalize downtown. They want to do something good for downtown. This will be the first team in Kansas City, sports team, that plays at the highest level of its sport. Okay, so think about that for a second. This is the first team in Kansas City that performs and plays at the highest level of its sport that will play a game downtown since 1985, the Kansas City Kings. Wow! We've had some minor league teams. That'll be the first. Now, to me, this is a minor league sport. Not trying to offend them. It just is. Doesn't have a big TV contract. Doesn't generate a lot of revenue. They don't sell a lot of tickets. To me, that's minor. It's just minor. Maybe it won't be someday. Maybe it'll be a major, major deal. I applaud Angie and Chris Long for building this thing. Go for it. Not my money. I'm all in. I'm not only on any progress you want to do. I wish you luck with your soccer venture. I love sports. I got nothing against soccer. I love that people love soccer. Go for it, man. Buy tickets, go to the game, start watching on TV, and have some fun with the darn thing. Do it. If you're going to put a roof over the edge of that thing, you better call Buck Roofing. That's all I know. Ron could do it. Huh. Online at rbuckroofing.com. Call 913-384-2680. And you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. We end with the feel-good story of the weekend. It's terrible. I don't know what's happening. I'm actually starting to like Tom Brady. You know, he's very private when he was in New England. He's becoming more public now. He was on Monday Night Football on the Manning cast, and he was good, and he was likable, and he's doing a lot of things that are likable. He threw his 600th touchdown pass. This is just insane. I mean, he throws four a game. They're really good. He doesn't seem to be falling off. I'm shocked. I'm just shocked at how good Tom Brady is. So he threw the touchdown pass, and then the player caught it, threw it in the stands. And, of course, it's a ball he wants, number 600. And so the Bucs went to the Bucs fan and said, we got a bunch of swag for you. They gave him some nice swag. You know, it was $1,000 in the gift shop, 2 season tickets the rest of this year and next, a couple of Brady jerseys, a couple of Brady helmets. He's going to sign all kinds of stuff for you. It's a good swag pack. And so they're on the Manning cast last night, and they said, yeah, how about that fan? And Brady says, yeah, the poor guy, he lost all his leverage when he said he was going to give me the ball. And they all laughed because we still don't know about Salvador Perez's home run ball, right? Well, the one that set the catcher record and the Cleveland fan wanted a bunch of money or whatever. Are the Royals quietly going to do this? Well, Brady set the market. He set the market price. So I saw the package of stuff this guy was getting. I thought, well, that's nice. I told my buddy yesterday, I said, listen, I think if it was me, I would have said, that's good. I'll take all that stuff. I just personally want to be the guy that hands it to him. I want to hand it to him, and I want to get a photo of me giving him the ball. That would be the greatest thing, the experience, meeting him and handing the ball. Well, Brady gets on the Manning cast last night and says, yeah, he lost all his leverage, but I took care of him. I gave him a Bitcoin. Tom Brady gave the guy Byron Kennedy in exchange for a football that Brady's teammates threw in the stands. He gave him a Bitcoin, $63,000 Bitcoin. That's fantastic. It's getting hard to hate Brady. It's truly getting hard to hate Brady. Man, it's good to be back this week. We're going to do our election show later this week. I know early balloting and early voting has already begun. I trust that if you're early voting, you know exactly who you're voting for before you get in there. We're going to provide a cheat sheet for you that will probably be late Thursday that will be out. I think I have to break down my computer and all my gear and reset my studio over the weekend in the new home. So I'll probably post the Friday podcast on Thursday night, and it will be our election preview. So we look forward to that. We're going to have a couple of people that are running for school boards on there. I'm going to get Mike Zinnege on, who's running for mayor of Overland Park. He needs your vote. If you live in Overland Park, or if you know anybody that lives in Overland Park, you got to call him. This is big. This is important. Overland Park needs to be the shining city, the shining light for this community, because Kansas City, Missouri will not be it. Overland Park has to do it. Overland Park has to show the way for this community and be an economic stronghold in this area. It needs to remain vibrant and on course. This is a really important one. Mike Senege for mayor. Mike for mayor in Overland Park. And I'm going to have school board people for you to vote for. This is mostly Johnson County elections. Missouri's not really voting. I think there's a couple things on the ballot, maybe in Wyandotte County. I'll look those up. We'll have that all for you later in the week. Tell everybody you know that Kevin Keatsman has issues. Spread the word if you can. If you'd like to join up as a patron, we will always take you at kkhasissues.com. Just click on Become a Patron for $5 a month. You get 3 or 4 bonus podcasts a week and the newsletter every weekend at Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.